But they ended up contacting us. Yo ilusionado, bro, ilusionado. Like damn, like our fucking dreams are coming true and this and that.
Yeah, that was before Dieciocho Libras, though.
No, that was during. That was Dieciocho. And que firmamos. I convinced him to do it, and he was like so fucking like, he was like, man, like I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good about this or whatever. And I convinced him finally, and he signed. And we got fucked over so bad, bro. Yeah, like, bad. To the point where we literally signed a lifetime contract.
Yeah, it had no end date.
Yeah, the check. No. Yeah, no end date. Fucking end date. Yeah. No end date. They fucking, they owned all of our shit. They literally, like, owned us, like, our person, bro. They owned all of my music. They were paying us in fucking checks that were bouncing. I was owing money like a motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Augusto Papa podcast. Today we got special guests from Las Vegas, Hijo Jose Garcia.
Yes, sir.
Dope. No, but muchas gracias por invitarnos. We're happy to be here, man. I mean,
first podcast.
Yes, this is the first podcast that we go on.
Yeah. Hey.
And that feels good, huh, when it's like first podcast? Yeah. It's like first and last.
Yeah. I hope there's no next. Oh, fuck,
hope real. You're loyal, huh?
Yeah, you got to be loyal to the first one. Oh, but anyway, bro, what brings you guys to Los Angeles?
This weekend, well, today we're right here. We're going to go visit my brothers. They're playing at Halos. I mean, they live in Vegas or whatever, but they have a concert today where Gilbertona is going to do her presentation.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's the old lady, right? Or old guy, whatever.
Old guy.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah, him, her, yeah. Yeah, they're going to do the presentation there. They're going to play today, so we came to support.
Damn, that's what's up. And you guys are from Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, live in Vegas.
Well, you guys live in Vegas?
Live in Vegas, born and raised in South Central LA.
Damn, that's sick. And, oh, my bad, go.
No, no, I just said not that far.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad. Because I was going to say that, like, you guys be coming back and forth since Rancho Humilde is from LA, and then you guys were over there.
Definitely.
Yeah, los convivios y diferentes cosas que we have to do, you know, throughout the whole year with la empresa, you know, like video recording, you know, studio time, some interviews, you know, Pepe's office and stuff like that. We're always in LA.
Yeah. Damn.
You guys go to Pepe's office tomorrow too, no?
Tomorrow.
Mañana.
Yeah.
Mañana.
Yeah. Shout out Pepe Garza for calling us. No sabo que.
Yeah.
They got you guys with that one, huh?
Yeah. I didn't even ask for permission.
just came at us.
Just said it. Now, he got me one time by my hair, bro.
Dude, I saw that. Oh, yeah. He was like, he's like, what's up with your hair?
Yeah,
like that, right?
Nobody had the tacuachica. I swear to God, bro. Like, contaba la gente que la tenía, and when he told me that, I was fucking frozen, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he talked shit to me too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He fucking got my ass.
Oh, there, with the gallo haircut, no?
With that, yeah, with some weird ass copete shit. That said, right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're making me sound like I'm from fucking G.I. Joe.
You just out here flaming everybody.
No,
flaming,
bro.
But everybody has those haircuts now, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Hey, everyone.
Eliano lo tiene. He cut it off, huh?
Yeah, I had to fix it a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, at the time, were people calling it tacuache haircuts or something else, right?
Even Pepe, when he looked at it, he was like, what is that? You know? And I was like, I did it because my fucking hairline was receding. Facts. You know, it's back.
Yeah,
it's coming back. So I had to do it to fix it, but then it came in, you know? It got into style with the little tacuache homies.
Damn, that's badass. You're considering one, huh, Keiko?
Yeah.
You should.
I don't know, because my hair, when it's like short, it's sticking up. So
That was tough.
Copete. Yeah.
That was tough, yeah.
No, well, you got the length already, so just keep that length, comb it, and then just chop that shit.
So go straight down?
Yeah.
And then Pepe will roast you.
We could cuss right here, right?
A little, only a little, like 3 bad words per episode.
Nah, you gotta get cursed.
Fuck.
Every sentence I say like 20.
All right, guys. To start off, like, how did Hijos de Garcia start?
We started with Hijos de Garcia after 2015. 2015,
yeah.
2015, officially, like, signed on, or what do you mean, like, when
we
started?
No, we got signed in 2018.
Okay, yeah. From 2015, we started, you know, just doing backyard gigs and stuff, me and my brother. You know, in Vegas. That's how Los Hijos Garcia started. Saul put the name to it. Honestly, I wasn't too much of a fan of it because I thought we were like, copying like Los Hijos de Barrón. Or,
oh yeah.
Oh okay. Like, okay. Yeah.
They were the big thing.
They were. Yeah. You know? They were fucking big dogs.
So I just didn't want to be compared, even though we sound nothing. Yeah. Like the Sierreño, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was just my thought, and then it grew on me, and you know, it gave us the name that we have now. So
yeah.
So when you guys started, you guys had another brother in the group too, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, we weren't called Los Hijos García. It was Los Cuatro Escoltas. Yeah. Even though it was just three of us all the time. Yeah, like an invisible fourth, huh?
Yeah, you know? For real.
No, so it was Los Cuatro Escoltas. That was back when I was 13. Saúl joined. I was playing with, his name is Raúl, my older brother. He's part of Los Nuevos Escoltas, which is their new group right now that they have with my younger brother, Randy.
Yeah.
And Raúl, you know what I mean? But yeah, I started when I was 13. He joined like a year after when he was 13. Mm-hmm. So I was like 14 or whatever, but he was playing the bass.
Yeah.
And I was playing the guitar and I was doing second voice for him. And then he was primera and accordion.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Same.
We did that for a lot of years, like 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys started at 13 years old?
13, yeah.
Same. How old are you guys now?
I'm 26 now.
24.
Same.
Damn.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a while.
That's all we've been doing, just...
Your music, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it always a goal of your guys' to, like, live off music or, like, oh, I want to be a signed musician?
My brothers. He was always one with the dream. I was always I don't know if it's pessimist. No. Like, I wasn't as optimistic as him.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
He was always like, we're going to fucking do it. And I was like, you know, I want to get a regular job and shit. You know, that's how it was before, bro. Okay. You know, I had a fucking girl and all that stuff. So but, I'm like, nah, I don't want to.
But Saul was actually, like, really good at school. Like, he was going to go to the university and shit like that, you know. And but I kind of, like, in a bad way, I kind of convinced him. Like,
hey, don't go. We got this.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. I'm like, let's follow my fucking little dream. You know what I mean? We'll both make it, you know.
Yeah, for real.
And it was such a roller coaster, man, honestly.
Dude. What would you have studied if you went to school?
I was going to study criminal justice, bro. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a detective. I thought shit was lit. Yeah. But when I found out about, like, how they worked, what you got to do and all this, like, scheduling and all that, I'm like... I don't know if I could do that. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I want to do all that, you know?
Yeah, so. You're on a salaried pay, and then on top of that, you got to be on cases.
But no disrespect to anybody that does that. You know, I fuck with that heavy.
Nah, fuck it.
Fuck those guys.
He's like, fuck the detectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no, yeah. FBI's outside.
Boom.
Damn. That was dope that, I mean, you stuck with the dream and you accomplished it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain point, I kind of wish that I also had that drive in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, pa que les miento, you know, I was just, you know, I used to go to school. I fucking graduated from high school, you know what I mean? I did that. Pero nunca tuve una pasión tan grande como lo tuve por la música since I was 13. Like, that's all I ever saw myself doing, you know what I mean? And it was so hard for me to think, like, fuck, what if I don't, you know, make it or anything, you know what I mean? Like, what am I going to dedicate myself to? And I was also very good at jobs, you know? I wasn't lazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you didn't, like, go into like a music school or not the no. or just go in general.
How'd you guys learn to play the instrument?
Yeah, I know that.
La neta, we kind of just picked it all up. Like, it just happened.
It's like how it sounded.
Yeah, it just happened naturally. The reason why I started was because my older brother Raul, back in the day, I think I was like in second grade, he had gotten into an accident where his legs were broken, and he was just in a cast like for a year and a half, roughly. I don't know. So my dad buys him, like, he just sees him bored or whatever, you know, homeschooling and stuff because he can't really go to school, you know, because he's, you know, in a wheelchair and stuff. So my dad buys him a piano to start playing because my brother would always listen to my dad's corridos, like the cassettes and all that shit, like we're talking about back in the day, you know. So the way that happened is that my brother started learning, like, ASAP. Like, he got a book. Like, I remember he told me that he knew how to read notes and stuff, and he would learn, and he would play a bunch of, like, the, back in the day, what was it, Duranguense was in?
Yeah,
all that, Patrulla 81, Montes de Durango, like, all the big guys were, that's what it was, you know.
He got into that. He got really good at it.
Yeah, there wasn't really no norteños. There was, it was more like here in LA, it was more like a sonido kind of thing, you know, like pura música de sonido, de puro teclado kind of thing, like just keyboards. So he learned it. And he I would see that, and that inspired me, because I would love the music that my dad would play too, like en sus borracheras and stuff like that. I would just listen.
Front yard and shit.
Yeah.
Having to bring beer and all that.
Yeah, the way I started getting, I guess, into the music was I got a bucket one day and two sticks kind of thing.
And I made it into my little drum,
and I would just follow the beat. And, you know, I was in second grade, you know, but I had an interest since I was really
That kind of like spark you to like wanting to learn.
I think I was like, what, 7 years old in second grade? Yeah, 6, 7 years old.
I feel like mine was different. When I wanted to learn music, I was fucking jealous that he would come home with money already, because he was working with my older brother, Raul. And I would just be chilling, like, and we kind of shared rooms. So he would come home and he would be counting, like, he'd just count.
He'd just rack up.
He don't even care about me watching. And I'd be like, fuck, man, I want to make money. You know, like, I want to do that. Like, I didn't do it for the fucking music at first. You know? I was a kid, bro. I was a kid and I wanted some money, dog. So
he's like, I did it for the women.
Yeah, nah. But one time my brother had picked me up from school, and I'm in his back seat, and he has a crazy ass subwoofer, and I'm like, what makes that noise? And he showed me, he's like, this bass guitar. And I'm like, man, I want to play that. And he's like, dude, we need that. So started from there.
And how'd you jump from bass to accordion?
I would see my brother play accordion, and I would see all the attention that he would get. And I'm like,
so first, like, I'm telling you, it was always about the money
and the girls for him.
For sure. Nah, it was never like that. Now, I've always been hella nervous and shy, so I played bass for like 6 years. Hasta que me animé, because my brother, obviously, you know, he got out. But I've always wanted to learn the accordion. I thought it was always so dope. And I was going to learn the tecla, like, you know, the piano style. But he basically made me do the button one. Remember? You were like, nah, it's more modern and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it harder, or is it like the same thing?
A lot of people, that's one of the biggest questions I get. I feel like it's like trying to compare automatic cars and manual cars. Mm-hmm. It's the same basis, but it's different like actions that you're going to do, you know? Like if you want to play crazy shit on a button, you're like here with it. On a piano, you're supposed to go up and down. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's just different ways, you know?
I bought an accordion, but I didn't learn shit. So I went to bass. Yeah.
He went the opposite of you.
I know,
the
opposite. Yeah, bro. He went backwards. Yeah.
And I saw on Pepe, you learn on the iPad?
Yeah, I was going to bring it, bro. I forgot to bring my iPad. Yeah. I posted up a video like a couple years ago too, showing like, I think I played Ticho Libras, Cabezones, like our songs, but that's how I learned on an iPad, on the Honor app.
So you learned on the iPad, then you got an accordion?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, we weren't working like much because my brother had got out, so we didn't have money, you know? So I was like, fuck, I need to learn somehow. My homie ended up letting me borrow his Panther, and he never learned. He's my best friend now, but he never learned. So, that's why we're so close, you know? Cause He let me have it for like 6 months, huh? Almost a year.
Yeah.
And I broke it, and I had to buy him another one.
He broke that shit.
Yeah.
Wait, so with accordions, how do you tune? Like, you had to get air put into it?
I took it to a shop.
You can't tune an accordion?
Wait, no. He said you had to put air into it. I was like, what?
Was it like a tire or what?
like flat or what?
He's like, let me inflate my basketball.
It doesn't have like a... He's gonna have it inside. Just
yeah, no, it does. It has some keys inside on the grill part that when you pull the air, when the air travels through that you're pulling,
it's like a harmonica.
Yeah, but you don't put air in it.
You don't put air. You pull air. Yeah,
he's gonna have like a soccer pump.
No sabo que.
Yeah,
this is why Pepe calls us no sabo que. You're dumbass.
Yeah, but that's music. I don't know. I was never into music. I bought a guitar and it's just there. The adorno.
It's right there, huh? That one.
Oh, is that one right there?
Yeah. No, mine's at home.
Wait, tell them what you learned when you took the classes in college.
Oh, what is it called?
Beethoven.
Oh, Beethoven.
That's dope.
Yeah, he took a music class in college. He thought he was going to learn like Ariel Camacho. He was playing like fucking Beethoven.
I
feel that.
And after that, I was like, nah, fuck that. Because that was when they were, well, like your guys' second year of music. And then that's when I was like, I'm going to go into school to learn. Because I used to be their staff. I would fucking like help them with all that shit.
Grupo. Dope.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to learn. Fuck it, I'll un día.
Yeah.
But nah, nunca. Never caught my attention.
The bottle's outside for it. I don't know if you want it. You don't want it right now, right?
We'll be back after a quick break.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
All they have is just...
The station with the...
Best.
In your face. All over the place.
She looks like every other I think the not, you tricky.
The Subverted Radio Show. Anywhere you get your podcast.
Nah, hell no. I'll get everybody drunk here.
Bottle?
Yeah, for real.
That already happened once. It was a bad experience with that, homie.
It can't.
Nah, just kidding.
That's I had a bad peda last week.
And I noticed that you guys were a norteño, and then you guys switched to...
Like, tipo sereño, norteño.
No? Yeah, yeah. You guys want to talk about like a little bit?
It's called norteño banda. Called
oh, my bad.
Oh, like with the bass and drums, and then...
Yeah, it was a full on norteño. Yeah. It was a full on norteño in the beginning. That's how we were never a full norteño
in the beginning. Yeah,
yeah. Hijos de García was never a full norteño. You know what I mean? You guys saw that we were a full norteño because we got onto the SMO the first moment that we signed on to Rancho, and we're like, fuck, like no vamos a llenar el sonido muy bien on stage because we only have a fucking tuba.
That's how we blew up.
Before it was with the Tololoche and shit, right?
Tololoche.
Yeah, I remember watching you guys' videos. We were in high school, remember?
Yeah.
I think it was on the Chochin
production. Yeah. Shout out Chochin. That's our boy right there. He put in super work to help us get to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when I first listened to you guys with Tololoche, and then you guys took out the album.
Yeah.
What was it called? When you guys...
Lucas de la Vida.
Yeah, Lucas de la Vida. That's where it came out with drums and bass, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, the album is my favorite. No,
for real?
Yeah.
I think you're going to fuck with this new EP that we're dropping, bro.
Is it going to be
that vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Norteño or?
Yeah, so
Norteño.
The new album, it's an EP. O sea, solo van a venir cinco canciones, cinco corridos, puros corridos. We're just focusing on corridos now. Yeah. Like, pero va a ser con drums and bass. So we're bringing that Lucas de la Vida album
style back.
For you know what I mean? Damn. Es que pues la gente... Primero que agreguen the drums and bass. That's why we did that.
Yeah.
We came out with Lujos de la Vida. It was a successful album and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, que we're tired of that. We want tuba now. Like how you did it with 18 Libras. Because 18 Libras came out in a little ranch, Almanza Frisian's Ranch. Salud pal compa Andy. It came out with a tuba, so they're like, "Oh no, que you guys started with a tuba, que you guys need a tuba, que we don't want to listen." I'm like, "Come on, man, we're trying to complacerlo."
Yeah, yeah.
All right, real. So we've been doing all this year, like, and then they're like, "Oh, que métele Tololoche," like nunca lo vamos.
Para que no diga nada.
Yeah,
the next thing, hey, bring the tamborazo.
Neta. Ahorita ya estamos regresando a esa etapa donde we're like, you know what, let's bring it back to what basically people have been asking about us, and y también el compa el Jimmy Humilde, salud para toda la clica de Rancho Humilde. Jimmy was on one of his lives on his radio back when the pandemic was like really hard. He was on the radio Me Llama, and he's like across the nation right now on my on our streaming service. We have about like 70,000-80,000 listeners. Me dice, you're on air, y pues te queremos preguntar what's the new plans or whatever. And he's like, hey man, la neta, la gente nos está preguntando que cuando van a sacar un nuevo album with drums and bass. Y de ahí prendió la idea. And I'm like, you know what, I think I talked to Saul, I think we should bring an album back like that for the people. And I think that style now is gonna come to stay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
With this new EP, es una probada para que se den una idea de lo que viene en el full album, like in another 2 months after when this drops. Yeah, and the album drops November 5th.
November 5th.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, imagine you drop the album, they're like, Artuba.
I know it's going to be some people. Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, now you guys sound whack now. I preferred it when it was tuba. But it's the same motherfucker that's saying, oh, I don't like you guys with tuba. You guys should have done drums and bass.
Yeah.
You know, you can't compensate like, everybody.
Yeah, because
it's everybody.
You please
opinion.
One, and then the other, like, nah, other go back. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, in the middle, or do both, one with tuba, one with no tuba, and just release.
I feel like we have enough of tuba to, you know, for them to be, you know,
that's exactly.
I feel like we need some drums.
So the first reason why you added it was because you felt like it needed to fill up the sound for like the SMO tour, right?
Yes,
yeah,
and that's exactly what it did. Yeah. We were the only other
norteño
along with Legado Siete. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was el de la guitarra with tuba and cierreño. Arsenal Efectivo with Bajoloche and guitars. And then the other group of Fuerza Regida, you know, tuba. Again, Cierreño con tuba. Everybody had tubas or the Bajoloche or whatever, but it was us, a norteño, and Legado.
Oh, yeah.
That's dope, bro. Yeah. Looking forward to that. And I have a question, like what were the like events that happened for you guys to be discovered by, like, for example, like Rancho Humilde? Like, were you guys like, came to like tocadas now to like being signed in like a whole bunch of exposure and shit.
Yeah.
That's a really long story, man. I mean, the way it happened, I guess I'm gonna just sum it up for you guys. The way it happened was that one day me and Sal were working at the same spot, working at the same office and stuff, and I'm sitting in one section and he's sitting in another one, and we're texting. We're not even fucking not even working. We're talking about our videos that we're gonna record, you know, and with Chochin Productions. And so I was like, hey, like, what other cover are we going to do? Because we were just doing covers and covers and covers. And we were already getting kind of a little bit of clout in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like back when,
We had dropped, like, Iván Archibaldo and, like, some covers like that, you know? And we were, and then you did a Tome Nota that it went cool on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Tome Nota definitely got us business in Vegas. And then it got to the point where we were just booking gigs, like, months ahead. Anyways, I tell Saúl in the text, I'm like, you know what? I wrote a corrido. I'm like, this is my first corrido I ever write. I'm like, how about we just try it out? He's like, I got to hear it first or whatever, right? We had some kind of talk like that. He hears it, and he's like, I don't know about it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at first. Yeah,
and which one was it?
Lucos de la Vida.
Lucos de la Vida.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
How do you not like it?
And I was like,
Nobody liked it. Yeah. Nobody liked
it. Even the people at the ranch that when we recorded it, they were like, they didn't fuck with the name, huh?
Nobody liked it. Like, it was like 10 guys there. Because they all fuck with us, you know, they were our homeboys.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, look, this is the song that we're going to play. We played it. And usually they're like, damn, like cantan bien chingón, you know, like a cover or whatever. Yeah. Everybody was silent, dog.
It's because it was something
different. Like, I was like, fuck. And they're like, and then Andy, del Rancho, he's like, what are you going to call it? I'm like, Lujos de la Vida. And then they're like, name is something else. Everybody was clowning on the song. I'm like, fuck that shit. We're going to fucking take it out. Like, we're already here freezing our fucking asses off.
Dude.
By the way, that video was shot in like 10 degree weather. It was crazy cold, fool. Like, to the point where I couldn't, my fingers looked like fucking T-Rex claws.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we dropped that music and then.
Oh, yeah. Back to the story. So we dropped it and, then that shit blows up in Vegas.
Yeah, it's gonna like
immediately after like 2-3 months. Like in 2-3 months,
gets like 100,000-200,000.
Yeah, no, I'm saying in 2-3 months we released 18 libras.
That was my second. 6 months after.
Neta?
Yeah, 6 months after.
Then I released 18 libras, my second composición ever.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. Nothing personal though, bro, because I was just like, it was something so new, you know, like what he was saying, like nobody had been writing corridos like that, you know, so I was just like, I don't know, like, let's do a cover, fuck that, let's do it, you know what I'm saying?
So how you said nothing personal, so I ended up taking it personal, and then we fought in the backyard and shit.
Fist fight.
Yeah? Really?
Nah.
Oh, I'm like, fuck, like that.
Like, everybody asks us.
Fucking
like
caught
that?
The hand, bro.
Everybody asks us, do we fight, huh?
How, fucking how ran the fade, doggy.
Bro, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for cutting off. Back to that, 18 libras drops, and immediately it's fucking
taken. A million a month.
Everybody is listening to it. A million streams a month on YouTube. It was only out for 3 months. Within those 3 months, we made the worst decision we could have ever made in our fucking lives. I ruined, essentially, in my eyes at that point. I'm like, damn, I told Saúl to fucking join me on this shit. Y nos está yendo bien. We were fucking selling out places by ourselves. And then I'm like, hey, the next step is getting signed and this and that. And then there's a company that I wouldn't want to fucking mention, you know what I mean? But they don't really deserve it. They ended up contacting us. Yo ilusionado, bro. Ilusionado. Like damn, like our fucking dreams are coming true and this and that.
Yeah, that was before 18 libras, though.
No, that was during. That was 18. And, que firmamos. I convinced him to do it, and he was like so fucking like, he was like, man, like, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good about this or whatever. And I convinced him finally, and he signed. And we got fucked over so bad, bro. Yeah, like, bad. To the point where we literally signed a lifetime contract.
Yeah, it had no end date.
Yeah, the check. Yeah, no end date.
Fucking end date. Yeah.
No end date. They fucking, they owned all of our shit. They literally like owned us, like our person, bro. They owned all of my music. They were paying us in fucking checks that were bouncing. I was owing money like a motherfucker in the bank. It ruined a specific part of our life. And then on top of that, it made it even worse in my eyes, because when that happened, my mom had
She had just passed away.
Yeah, in 2010. And she saw everything that was bad that was going on, and she saw that we were just fucking stressing out. We were honestly gonna give up, you know, the music.
Yeah.
Because there was no way out of it. Ya nos habían tumbado toda la música porque we didn't want to go play for this said company.
Then that's when Jimmy hits us up.
And then that's when Jimmy hits us up, yeah.
But he had been hitting us up, though, you know?
Yeah, la neta, sí. Él y Roque, shout out to Roque and JB, y pal compa Jimmy también, they had been hitting us up, like, hey, la neta, pues we see that you guys have, you know, issues right now in the current label that you're at. Y la neta, de tan traumado que quedamos, bro, we didn't want to fucking talk to anybody.
Yeah,
it was nothing personal with them or nothing. We just thought, we were just like, man, if they're fucking us over, imagine this big ass name, Rancho Humilde. Damn. Imagine how fucked up they're gonna have us if we even try to do something with them.
Yeah.
So anyways, llega el punto donde me and Saúl ya no encontramos la salida. We don't have any fucking money. We're broke as fuck. You know what I mean? And we're just like, you know what?
We hit
like,
him up, huh?
Yeah, we're like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Like,
and he was in Cosmo that same day.
Yeah.
He was in Vegas that same day that we hit him up. He's like, I'm in Vegas. Jimmy? Come see us, Jimmy.
Shit.
And he was there with the guitarra before anybody knew what he looked like. And I passed him. Like, if say he's right here, I just fucking said what's up and passed him. He's like, do you guys know who that is in there? I was like, no, what the fuck? He's like, that's a little guitarra. And I was like, no. No,
the same thing happened to us. We actually met the guitarra.
And you didn't even, and you didn't
know? No, we heard because we were in the store.
We recognized his voice.
Yeah, and then he was like, ¿Qué rollo? ¿Qué rollo? I fucking heard that shit. Like, yeah, Jimmy was in there, long story, but.
That's my homeboy. That's my homeboy. We call each other Concuño. You guys know what a Concuño is?
I do, but I don't want to sound stupid. So, like,
I don't want to right now. You don't want to give Pepe more reason.
They're already on to this, bro. Yeah.
We're going to talk about you guys on Pepe's. Okay, you guys don't know what a concuño is. So, a concuño is basically when me and you are dating two sisters, like two girls that are sisters.
Yeah.
Me and you
are dating me him?
No. No, like if me and you are dating the pair of sisters, actual sisters. So I'm her boyfriend, you're her boyfriend, the other one.
Yeah.
We're concuños.
Oh yeah, I was right. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean I didn't like super.
I know Eskimo brother they are, but like that's not the same.
Yeah, so back to the story of meeting with Jimmy, I contact him and I tell him like, all right, cool, let's meet. And we finally meet and
we're up there and shit.
We're up there talking, and he could even tell it in my face. Like, he was talking to us, and I still remember this talk. Like, he's like, man, he's like, I could tell you guys are stressed the fuck out. You guys are just stressed about life. Bro, like, tanto que una person that we've never met in our lives can nos puede notar la desesperación.
That's how tough it was.
Yeah, bro, it was fucking, it was so tough, güey. Y en ese entonces ya tenía mis kids, güey.
Yeah.
Actually, I think my first one was born.
How fast did they fix that problem? Fucking
he literally said at that backtracking meeting, we went to a lawyer. The reason why we were trying to give up music was because we went to a lawyer, Segunda entertainment lawyer. We paid him money that we didn't have, basically that we didn't have enough money to pay him, kind of thing. And he said, hey, minimum this is going to take around like 6 to 8 months minimum to even get it started, and then we got to go from there because you guys signed
was it a partnership or something?
A partnership.
Yeah, it was tough.
Where both parties have to fucking release.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then on top of that, you guys sign an indefinite contract, which means that it has no end date. there's no final. There's no end date till the end of time. Your music will be generating money for that company.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, man. I felt so depressed. At that point, when I went to Jimmy, I felt so depressed because I genuinely felt like I ruined his future. I was like, fuck, man, no tenemos ni un pinche cinco en la bolsa, güey. And you know, we're over here at the brink of making something out of our music.
Yeah.
You know, people just genuinely fucked with our music. We didn't have any fucking dollar flow, nothing like that. So we tell Jimmy about our problem. He's like, what? He's like, the lawyer said what? I'm like, yeah, man, minimum fucking 6 to 8 months to even get this process started, man. He's like, man, I'll get you out in fucking 30 minutes. I'm like get the fuck out of here, bro. Come on, don't go rising our hopes up and then letting us down at the end of the day, man. Like, don't tell us that shit, you know what I mean?
But he didn't.
And then he's like just give me the contract, give me his contact, and give me his address where he lives, and we'll make sure that we do everything legally, and you know, we'll get my lawyers to get him to cooperate.
Fuck. So Jimmy helped you guys out of that, like, fucked up.
He got us out.
That was the only reason why we're here, yeah. Honestly.
He got us out without even signing us. He just wanted us to be out of that so we can have our music back.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Yeah. I never heard of a contract without an end date.
Bro, our whole story is crazy.
Yeah, so we're at our final show. We're going to announce literally the unveiling of Lujos de la Vida album.
Mm-hmm. We were in HP, right?
We were here in LA. Yeah, we fucking sold this place out. Le cabían como 900 personas. We're at our final show. Según yo y Saul, we came up with a decision. We're like, you know what? We already gave the contract to Jimmy to see if he can get us out or whatever. We haven't heard from him in about a week or whatever. It was like a week or two. Yeah, so
yeah.
Real short. And I told him, you know what? This is our last show because that company that we were signed on to, they kept shutting down all our music and they kept saying like, oh, okay, vamos a mandar like a cease and desist letter to the clubs that you're gonna play and they're gonna cancel you and shit. So we're going to make sure that you don't fucking play anywhere. It got to the point where this motherfucker was like...
Just threatening.
Just threatening us. And we were kids at that time, you know? Well, not kids, but younger, you know?
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it was just ugly, way. It just felt so depressing, like knowing such a sick person like him. You know what I mean?
Who just wants to put someone down.
Like, yeah. A rotten person, bro. Neta. Like, if you guys ever met him, like, the hasta la pinche cara tiene de perro, güey. Neta.
Should we have him on the podcast?
Yeah. No, not bring that person. Yeah, bring that person. Yeah. Let's change the
anyways, yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Stop talking about him.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Jimmy calls us. We're outside.
We're outside. The fucking club is jumping, way. It's fucking jumping off the walls, dog. Yeah. This club, like, for real, like I said, nomás tenía capacity 900. And they fucking fit like 1,500 to 1,000 like 600 people, you know? It was so packed, it looked like fucking sardines, you know what I mean? Just everybody was standing like this.
The mesas
were fucking packed out. Everything was sold all the fucking way to the back, like sold the fuck out, crazy. And we were already we had like a little intro, I guess the DJ was playing the music and I was hearing it and shit. And I remember I was just in the back, like just fucking... kind of having a fucking out of body kind of moment where you're just like, fuck man, is this really what the fuck it came down to? Like, this was too quick. Like, it just felt too quick, you know? It felt like it needed to be more.
Yeah.
And we're about to play. My boys are telling us like, hey, it's fucking showtime. We're about to fucking go on, right? The house is fucking roaring because they're playing our music.
Yeah, it's it.
And they're fucking erupting with gritos and shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we're in the back, I'm about to walk in, y que me llega una llamada. And I grab the phone, and I usually give the phones to Compa Juan. I had him in my pocket, and I grab the phone, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Jimmy. So,
hold up, everyone.
Everybody stop screaming.
No. So I didn't walk into the club. I stayed out in the back of the alley, and I answered, he was like, hey, what's up, bro? He's like, ¿qué, cómo va la cosa? I'm like, hey, it's a sold out night. You know, it's cracking inside. He's like, hey, man, well, I'm calling you about, you know, the contract and shit. And well, I got good news and I got bad news. And I'm like, fuck, man. At that moment, my fucking stomach sank to my ass way. I was like, God damn it. I was like, he couldn't get us out. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking. And he's like, the bad news is that I'm not there in person to tell you the good news. Yeah, bro.
He
fucking said that shit, bro. Exactly what you guys did, bro. the tension was so high, bro. And then he fucking said that shit. It was like, oh my God, bro. He's like, hey, man, congratulations. I got you out of that fucked up contract, man. Just fucking come on Monday. I know it's a Friday. Just come over here in LA on Monday. We'll meet over here downtown. You and your brother will sign out of the contract, and we even have video of this fucking asshole signing you guys out on his end.
He didn't say asshole, though.
He didn't say asshole. I put those words. No, he's like, no, yeah, he's like, we have it documented on video as well that it was his signature.
That it was signed out.
That we have this bitch ass.
Imagine, dumb motherfucker, ugly ass.
I'm pretty sure, like, that night just fucking...
Everything
was like, there was so much people.
As soon as he said that, I told Saul... And we had the fucking, like, we had, like...
I even cried, probably.
It was such a fucking crazy... It felt like we fucking won the lottery, bro. Like that. Like it felt like a movie scene.
A big release.
It felt like a real movie scene way. Like right after the fucking big showtime. Yeah. Oh shit, you get the important call and it's fucking great news.
Yeah.
And then you go up on stage and the house is fucking screaming for you, you know what I mean? And you play a fucking amazing show porque tienes un pinche gusto de que you're finally free.
Yeah.
Llegamos ese fin de semana. We had a fucking show in Vegas too. That shit was basically fucking sold out. Pero ahí era una humongous warehouse.
Yeah.
I think we fit like 2,500 people in there. It was for the release, the CD release party of Lujos de la Vida. That's what we were doing in LA, and that's why it sold out. It was acá in Vegas too. And we were playing so fucking, like, it was for the first time, I didn't feel like I was like tense. You know what I mean? I was fucking relaxed. Like, I even got drunk on stage and shit. Like,
dang.
It was crazy, bro. And pa acabarla, like this crazy ass story, Jimmy never once offered us a contract. It wasn't like, hey, I'll take you guys out and we'll put our lawyers that are fucking expensive. We'll put our lawyers up and our money up to get you guys out. Nunca nos dijo, hey, pero a cambio,
pero you I
need you to sign my contract.
So he just got you guys out just because.
He literally, from his words, he said he got us out because he really fucked with our music and he didn't want us to go down like that.
Yeah.
Shit. And when he said those things, I'm like,
yeah,
you know, like that's dope, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know he saw something in us, you know, that's why he helped us. But the fact that, bro, nobody else was hitting us up doing nothing like that, you know, like he had kind of a bad rep at that point and we were just scared of going with another person. But totally different, bro. This man changed our lives, bro, forever.
Yeah.
And then, we'll always be grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. And then that first time, it was like a month later after we were just free. You know, we were just doing our own fucking thing, like just, you know, actually making money. Finally, our fucking album released and whatever, you know. He got the rights back to our names and shit for the songs and all that.
Our album released with Rancho. We didn't release it.
Yeah. Before. Oh yeah. We did. We released the official album Lujos de la Vida. Yeah.
Yeah. With Rancho.
So, que luego like a month later pasa where we're just fucking gigging and you know just feeling good and I tell Sal, I'm like, you know what? It's crazy that they haven't fucking hit us up to work a deal to say like, hey, like whatever, you know. Nada. No nos dijeron nada. So I'm like, what if we fucking, I know I'm kind of walking you down another fucking bad path. Like this is a fucking recipe for disaster again because we don't know who they really are.
Yeah.
But are you willing to take another chance kind of shit? You know what I mean?
Honestly, I feel like the only reason I gave it a chance was because I had asked somebody already like that was already in the business. I'm like, hey, what do you think? And he just gave good reviews. And I was like, man, fuck it. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah, and then we called them up and we're like, hey man, we've thought about it a lot and we want to work with you guys. Like, what if we work out a deal? They're like, hey man, they're like, we'd be fucking more than happy to have you guys on the team of Rancho Mille, you know? So immediately, you know, they start working on a contract and
meet up.
We meet up, we see the terms and shit. Y pues la neta, the terms that
no date,
no date,
no. The terms that they gave us was fucking amazing, and because they knew that we were like, in a way, traumados,
we
were like traumatized already. They gave us like a fucking sick ass deal. I won't get into details about this shit. Yeah, but they gave us a sick ass deal, that we felt really, really comfortable. You know what I mean? We felt super comfortable with it. The percentages were great. Todo estaba perfecto. And just recently, actually, just to update. We just signed another contract with Rancho.
Partnership. Like a renewal?
Yeah, it's a renewal. It's a partnership renewal. This time.
It's a partnership, so it's something a lot bigger now.
Yeah, for sure. Know?
Damn.
Fucking after that, it was, how do they say it? After that, the rest was history.
Yeah.
Fucking smoked me out. Smoked me out was a fuck. Oh man.
It will forever be in my
heart.
It was
a 2018 one, right?
2018.
I think that was the best smoked me out tour.
You think so? What about the 19?
That 19, we had 19 was fucking
come on, that one.
Edencia was there. My boys Edencia Junior.
Shout out to
Edencia. They've always been.
What are some of the best Smoke Me Out tour like memories that you guys could recall? Like
Freddie has some good ass.
Like ones. Oh man,
the ones that we could talk about.
The ones you can't talk about.
hey, fill us in. This is an exclusive podcast.
Shit. Nah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, rated R shit that, you know, you're living like a fucking rock star, bro. And these kind of contracts and music like changes your life financially way to the point where you fucking do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like, con decirte que me compré un fucking Corvette, like signing on. You know what I mean? I was in a fucking brand new Corvette at 22 years old, bro. Just fucking rolling, bro.
Damn.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of cool shit that happened. Favorite memory?
Smoke Me Out.
In the SMO. fuck, but it depends what year. I mean, can you think of one?
I'll never really forget like what we were talking about, like the whole scene, like how the people just coreaban 18 libras. I'll never forget that. You know, when we did the Inglewood in the Forum in Inglewood, mm-hmm. when we did Pico Rivera, like just seeing so many people sing something that my brother created, and I know that I put my little sauce on it, that they're like, they fuck with it. Dude, that shit just gives me fucking goosebumps right now.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest things that we take away from the SMO or any tour for that matter. Yeah. You know,
the love
that people give you.
Yeah,
that shit is just like how any artist will tell you, it's addictive. It's that's so true. Addicting way.
That's true.
The stage presence, and then people just fucking, you know, chanting your name or screaming for you and shit like that.
It changes people though, you know?
Some people change it for the worse.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you guys ever get nervous like on stage or anything?
Oh,
We still get nervous. I get nervous as fuck. Like I feel like I'm a, you know.
We're in the van, like before we go up, Freddie's like, fucking getting nervous again, you know?
Yeah. That's how he is. Every time we get to somewhere, fuck, I need to take a shit.
it's like your stomach's feeling weird.
Do you, my bad.
Like on the way there, like that's being calmado, and then like
that's true.
5 minutes before showtime, like
I'm getting nervous right now.
Do you guys ever like smoke or drink?
Just drink. We've never smoked.
Yeah, no, I only drink during our shows. And at home.
Nigga.
So that's all. Shut the fuck up.
Quick cap. He has a bottle right there.
Yeah, bro.
I know. I just sent our staff to go buy two bottles.
It's not water in there.
That's not water, by the way. That's not water.
No, I definitely drink. Pero nomás me ha gustado drinking. Like, a lot of people think that I fucking, you know, do like hardcore drugs or pills.
Yeah, bro. A lot of people think I do that
weed
too.
And all that shit.
They say that because of like my ojeras, but it's just because we've been working since we were 13, you know?
Yeah. No, I literally only drink. I can completely 100% tell you guys that I've never tried a cigarette. I've never tried weed, vape, or whatever all that shit is. All that.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like it fit me. Like me. Like I'm very self conscious about what I do and how I, you know, present myself towards people.
Yeah.
Y la verdad, mirando a mí. I mean, no bad. You know.
Whoever does it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to talk bad or anything, but me as my person, the only person that I can actually be charge of.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's my style. That's it. Okay. You know, I feel like my style is tomando. Y además no soy mala copa. Like I don't get like fucking
crazy,
aggressive, crazy, fucking sad, emotional. None of that. It's just a good time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
sure.
Y pa que me aguanten, you know, la cruz sí me aguanta, pero pues los que se juntan like de vez en cuando,
pistear.
Yeah, they get laid out, bro, like on the floor, just passed out, drunk and shit.
I don't think so. I think I could keep up.
hey, whenever we go to Vegas, whenever.
Yeah.
But how do you drink though?
Just on the rocks.
Same.
Solo.
That sounds like a fucking lie, bro.
No, he's not capping.
That sounds like
not
a capping.
No, he's not capping.
All right. Yeah, see, that's how you.
What do you drink? What do you like drinking?
I was like Friday. I was drinking Jose Cuevos.
When you poop your pants?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, he pooped his pants.
No, they're lying.
He was drunk and pooped.
They're lying.
Oh my god. Everybody's saying that it's true.
They're lying.
We call him Mr. Poopy Pants
now.
They're lying. That's horrible. Wait,
or
that's
1800.
You know why? It's because you're drinking that cheap ass liquid. That's why you should just. Like,
yeah, you got to invest a little bit more into it and you won't poop yourself, bro.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's your favorite liquor? What do you recommend, pues?
So to drink on the. I'm just tequila. I don't like any more whiskey because I had bad experiences, you know, like.
Pooped his pants.
No. Actually, let me tell you a fucking story about Bucanas, way. Well, the reason why I don't like Bucanas is because there used to be a fucking club in LA, in Vegas, called Casino. And that was the fucking jumping spot.
Dude,
back then.
Y
era mi cumpleaños. And I had posted on Instagram, hey, para todos mis amigos, because back then we were hijos de García already.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'm going to be in fucking in Casino. Ya todos me conocían right
casino
there, you know?
Lounge.
I'm like, everybody pull up, get a fucking table. And the tables were cheap, way. Like, they would just fucking sell the bottle for $150 or whatever.
Oh, damn.
Tables were free. You know, tables were free. It was two floors and shit. Y siempre tenían, like, you know, underground groups coming in and shit. Llego esa noche, güey, me pongo hasta la madre, güey, to the point where I black out while I was still there, right? Not at the end of the night, like while I was still there. and I'm coming in and out of like consciousness. I find myself for some reason like recargado on the bar when I was upstairs. Like I thought I was upstairs, and then I just come back into like you know, reality, and I'm at the bar, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing at the bar by myself? And then I knock out again, and then I wake up again, and then I'm on the stage with Los Gavilanes, Saludos para el compa Memo.
Yeah.
I was on stage trying to sing a song, and I'm looking at him, and I'm trying to sing, and then I'm trying to read, and I couldn't read anymore, and I was like, nah, mejor tú, you know? So then I turn away, and I black out again, we.
Fuck.
And then I wake up again. Outside, shirtless.
Shirtless with a piece of gum on your ass. No?
Yeah, I had a fat ass gum. I guess I sat on the gum, and then like while me moving, like that shit spread around my pocket. Oh. Like,
wait, you still have your pants on, right?
Wait, no, but it was
he
worse.
Did have his pants
it was
on.
Worse. Oh, yeah. So while I was still inside, the reason why I was outside is because they kicked me out. Wait. That was the only time the securities picked my ass up.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
We're not big, so it was just one. It was one just one nigga, dude my one size. It was just one dude my size picked my ass up.
He's like, yeah,
nah. So basically, I was at my section, and I guess I started throwing up. All in my section and all over myself, and I fucking got completely covered. Yeah. I was rolling in my own vomit. Like,
ew,
basically. Yeah. And that's why they picked me up and they fucking threw my ass out, and I fucking took my shirt off. And then all of a sudden, I just woke up walking, like in the parking lot, right? I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, dude, I hit rock bottom that day. Like, for real, I swear to God. And I was there with my homeboy Tater.
And that was Bucanas, huh?
And that was Bucanas.
That was, Bucanas.
That was the last time that I could ever fucking process that shit in my system. Not in my system, way, because it just feels horrible now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
De vez en cuando I do take a shot of it because I'm on stage. Pero yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Wait, who were you with?
I was with a compa named Tater.
Where was he?
Where was he at? He fucking bounced.
Yeah, no, that fool was fucking dancing with girls and shit. That must have
happened. He's like, fuck this one.
Yeah,
fuck this one.
He fucking left me. Nah, but what I did know right there, man, is that all the people that came, they fucking recorded me like fucking fake motherfuckers. They recorded me. For real.
They never posted it. Did they?
I don't know if they did. Maybe it was on some of them private ass fucking Snapchat groups and all. That. He's like, yeah, we got it right here. Like, we're gonna play it right back.
Literally, bro. Boom.
That was the only time that I really got fucking really really bad to the point where I was like a fucking cagapalos that night.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's probably why they recorded you.
No, yeah. with us, we ended up being in front of a police chase. No.
Oh yeah,
in front of a police chase.
What, right, Angel?
He threw up, and then like there was a car chase.
He's always throwing up.
And then, that was the first time I actually like didn't know what the fuck happened.
Guy right next to you throwing up, right?
Yeah, right.
Put your hands up in there. Did you put your hands up?
No, I don't remember.
That boy's like, hold up.
He's like, officer, I'm gonna get going. And he threw up.
I got home missing my jacket, my hat. I like, fuck, I don't remember what the fuck happened. And I went to work the next day. I was fucking driving, fucking throwing up while I was driving.
In the cup holder, like, driving.
Yeah, dude, that was worse.
But as far as recommendations for tequila, the brands that I really fuck with, for drinking straight on the rocks, like how you drink, because there's different types to do different shit.
For
rocks,
you're a tequila connoisseur.
Because with Bucana, I would drink it like water.
That's just like the lowest of the barrel kind of shit. Talking about quality, I'm not talking about price tags or anything like that. You know,
he's gonna recommend
quality.
You know?
Yeah, quality. Of course, one of my favorite ones are Avion 44.
I never heard about that shit. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah, the Avion 44, Dos Artes Extrañejo, fucking Amor Mio Extrañejo.
I don't think we're getting paid for this sponsorship.
I know. Right?
I hope for one of them to sponsor me.
Hey, Don Julio 70.
Hey, beep all this out. Just beep it out.
Yeah, Don Julio 70 con la canica from Mexico. That's the fucking fire shit. Like, it tastes like a little bit sweet. The one that they have here is kind of like bitter. It's whack. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't really fuck with Don Julio. Like the other ones, I really fuck with the 70, but the other ones, it just feels like it's more mass produced now.
Yeah.
What else?
I just fuck with Martel.
Oh, this new one, dog, it's the most fire shit that we've tried yet. And surprisingly, that shit's cheap. It's $50 a bottle. It's fucking, it's called 818 tequila. Mm-hmm. And I heard
Kendall Jenner's, right?
Kendall Jenner's
tequila.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bro.
It's fire. Yeah, it's fire.
That shit's fire,
bro. I heard the Rocks is cool too. Terramana or something.
Terramana? Yeah.
There's one we tried, El Tesoro.
El Tesoro is beautiful. Hey,
who's that?
El Tesoro, is that? El Tesoro, the Extrañejo with the gold cap, way. Mm-hmm. It's like a, I think it's like a $200-$300 bottle or something like that. Try that one, way. Es una chulada,
yeah, because we tried it the day of Puestos.
Yeah.
That was the smoothest tequila I ever, like, tasted.
They pooped their pants, too.
I feel like everybody's going to be like, bro, how old are these kids? Like, I don't think they know.
They're all 21.
They're all 21.
We're underage and they're talking to them.
You know what was funny? Freddie thought Keiko's like 38 and shit.
I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but you look old as fuck, way.
I'm definitely going on the diet. It's only the cachetes.
No, we already talked about it. We already talked about why you look old, way. He's like, it's probably the cachetes. let's face the
obvious. Probably too much gel.
You just gotta grow in at least your mustache, way, because without the mustache, this makes you look like another 10, 15 years.
Damn.
Yeah,
I'm gonna grow. Or should I just shave it off?
Or shave it off?
I've been deciding on shaving it because I can't grow it. Like, I grow in patches. So.
Simo,
damn guys,
stay or go.
Feel it. I used to have that problem too.
Yeah,
since you guys almost had to go, do you guys want to talk about any new? Oh, talk about the podcast.
We're thinking of we're gonna.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We have a podcast set up.
So for all the people that are watching me. It's more like I was saying me because I used to do story times like by myself and shit on my Instagram.
And
we always used to shoot this shit, you know, just talking about embarrassing, funny moments, you know, sad things.
Like pooping his pants.
Whatever. Yeah. Como que la agarró de costumbre. We just used to like fuck around, you know. I used to bring people on to the little story live or whatever, and it used to get cracking. Honestly, just some funny ass shit would happen.
We're trying to do that in a podcast form.
Yeah, we would hear people's stories or whatever, you know, and they would come up with these fucking hilarious stories. we're trying to bring that whole thing para toda la gente que still DMs me. I get so many DMs talking about, hey, que when are you gonna go live? Que we fucking miss the story time shit, all that funny ass, you know, big booty Judy story. I had a story about a girl that I used to have or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I never had her, actually. That was the fucking point of the shit. I never got her.
Used to have. Like, yeah. You owned her or something?
I know, right?
I used to have her. She's the car. I just leased her.
Yeah, no. We're bringing that again with a cast of members, like the crew, you know what I mean? So we're always going to be inviting some of our artist friends that we have. And we're just going to be talking about, you know, like, kind of like that story time vibe where it's like, hey, well, we'll bring up a topic like, hey, has anybody fucking gone through this kind of shit? And, you know, we just fucking have it. But we're going to, it's going to be like convivio, like smoking, drinking and all that shit. You know what I mean?
I thought you guys don't smoke.
We don't smoke, but we got like everybody around me and Saul smokes. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah, yeah.
They asked us one time. It was my boy Javi from Arsenal. He walked into the Smoke Me Out bus and me and Freddie were just sitting down. He was like, what do you guys do? And we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, do you guys, he's like, you guys smoke? And we're like, nah. He's like, do you guys do coke? I was like, nah. He's like, then what the fuck do you guys do? I'm like, bro, we come play, dog.
Like, that's the only option.
I was like, we come perform.
Why are you a musician?
Yeah, like, you're a rock star. No?
He was asking.
Nah, we only fuck bitches get money.
Yeah.
Sure. I love Bundy when he came like, hey, how does it feel getting signed? Like, nah, fuck bitches getting money.
Damn. Like, yeah,
me too.
Damn. That's hilarious. Funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. Is there a due date for the EP that you guys have coming up?
Yes, November 5th. Los Hijos de García. We don't even have a name for it yet, huh?
No. We're going to, I mean, I'm not sure what we're going to name it.
Comment down below.
Yeah, comment below. But for sure, November 5th is already set.
Any events, tours?
Yeah, we're on tour with Big Alegres del Barranco.
Yeah,
saludos a Alegres.
That's a whole other tour that we just got signed on to, kind of thing. Us and Alegres del Barranco.
Jimmy
and
made it happen.
And then, and then occasionally El Coyote.
Rock,
So it's us three.
Is at the Microsoft?
I don't think we'll be part of it. It'd be dope. Jimmy.
The Invasión Corrida?
No. They have a Microsoft show.
I'm trying to go to it though.
I'm trying to go for sure.
I at least want to go see.
Yeah, let's go. We could probably just hop up and sing a song.
Yeah. Crash the party.
Crash the party, drunk as fuck.
No. But yeah, we've been on that tour, man. Nos está yendo muy bien, bro. It's selling out everywhere, bro. It's such a good fucking vibe porque tenemos a la gente that grew up listening to us, like all in that 20-year-old range.
Yeah, we bring them.
Los 30 más o menos. And then they bring all the old school cats, you know, like, you know.
Yeah. And the young, too.
And the young, like all of the Tacuache movement or whatever, they all fucking listen to Alegre.
They all fuck with it, yeah.
You know, that's a Cali vibe like a motherfucker, you know. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
we say repleta all the way all across the U.S., you know what I mean? It's a really good fucking tour.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, well, thank you guys for coming through.
For sure,
I know you guys got to go somewhere, but like when we get our new place, well,
hell yeah, dude, let's go back.
Like 3 hours and shit.
This was a good interview. This was dope.
The vibe was,
I haven't seen all of them, but I feel like it was a good vibe.
Yeah,
no, hell yeah, vibe.
I think it's one of my favorite episodes too.
Yeah, like, dope.
It was really smooth.
Yeah, it did.
I was waiting for that next detail.
I know, like, intense, and then, like, what happened after, and then, like,
they were just throwing up. That's funny.
There you guys go. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, check them out, and peace out.